He was found dead on an Australian beach. No name, no ID, no wounds, just a half-smoked cigarette and a scrap of Persian poetry hidden in his pocket. For over 7 decades, no one knew who he was, how he died, or why every label was cut from his clothes. Was he a spy, a lover, a ghost in the middle of a Cold War conspiracy? Then in 2022, DNA cracked the silence, and the name it revealed only deepened the mystery. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Follow us on your favorite platform, leave a comment with your theory, and get ready. Because the next twist might change everything you thought you knew about life, death, and identity. Chapter 1. The Body on the Beach. The body was found just after dawn on December 1, 1948, lying slumped against a sandstone seawall on Somerton Beach in Adelaide, South Australia. Dressed sharply in a pressed suit, polished shoes, and a perfectly knotted tie, the man looked almost at peace. His legs were outstretched and crossed neatly at the ankles, like someone who had decided to lie down and watch the waves roll in. Except, he was dead. A group of early morning beachgoers noticed him as they passed, assuming at first that he might be drunk or sleeping off the night. But as the sun rose higher, the stillness of his limbs, the pallor of his skin, and the unnatural angle of his head told a darker story. Police arrived and quickly noted several strange facts. The man had no form of identification on him, no wallet, no driver's license, not even labels on his clothes. Someone had gone through the trouble of carefully removing every clothing tag, even the manufacturer's labels. His fingerprints were taken and run through national and international criminal and immigration databases. No match, no name, no clue as to who he was or why he had died. Even stranger, his physical condition seemed entirely normal. He was healthy, clean, and physically fit, suggesting someone of middle-class status who took care of himself. A post-mortem revealed an enlarged spleen and some congestion in the brain and stomach, but no visible signs of trauma. Poison was suspected, but never proven. Toxicology results came back negative. Whatever had killed him, it left no trace. Then came the contents of his pockets. A half-smoked army club, cigarette tucked behind his ear, a used train ticket to Henley Beach, an unused bus ticket, a pack of juicy fruit gum, a packet of Bryant and May matches, and a comb. Mundane, forgettable items, except for the strange brand inconsistencies. The cigarettes in his pocket didn't match the brand on the pack. Was he poor and refilling an old box with cheaper cigarettes, or was he hiding something in plain sight? The media latched onto the case instantly. The mysterious Somerton Man, as he came to be known, captivated the public imagination. Newspapers speculated wildly. Spy, suicide, ex-soldier, jilted lover. Police circulated his photograph, hoping someone would recognize him. They sent dental records and body measurements to other jurisdictions. Nothing. Then, weeks into the investigation, a small breakthrough came when a brown suitcase, checked into the Adelaide Railway Station's cloakroom the day before the man was found, was traced back to him. Inside were neatly folded clothes, again, all labels meticulously removed, a small screwdriver, a pair of scissors sharpened like a scalpel, and some stenciling equipment. There was also a thread spool of a type not available in Australia. Police concluded that the man had likely travelled from overseas. One piece stood out more than the rest, a small roll of orange waxed thread. It matched the unusual thread used to repair a seam in the dead man's trousers, establishing a connection between the suitcase and the body. Still, no name. The official coroner's report ruled the death unexplained, with the cause listed as possible poisoning by an unknown agent. The body was embalmed and buried in a pauper's grave in West Terrace Cemetery. On his tombstone, here lies the unknown man who was found at Somerton Beach, first deck, 1948. But the story didn't end there. The coded book. Months later, in June 1949, another strange detail emerged. A man came forward to report that he had found a copy of a rare edition of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam in the back seat of his car, which had been parked near Somerton Beach on the day the body was discovered. Police retrieved the book and found a tiny piece of paper hidden in a concealed pocket. On it were the printed words, Tamam Shod, Persian for it is ended. Even more remarkably, they discovered faint penciled writing on the back of the book. Five lines of capital letters, arranged in groups, appeared to be some kind of cipher. One line was crossed out, as if someone had reconsidered and rewritten their message. Cryptographers, including those from Australian Naval Intelligence and even British intelligence agencies, attempted to crack the code. They failed. The writing didn't conform to any known military, commercial, or diplomatic cipher. It wasn't a substitution code, Morse code, or shorthand. Some experts believed it could be an acrostic, a shorthand list of initial letters for a larger body of text. But if so, its meaning was lost to time. The code, the poem, the absence of labels. It all seemed to point toward espionage. The nurse in Glenelg. A second connection came from the book. On the inside back cover, police found a local phone number written in pencil. It belonged to a young nurse named Jo Thompson, who lived just a 5-minute walk from Somerton Beach. When detectives visited her home, Thompson, referred to in police files under the pseudonym Jestin, admitted that she had once owned a copy of the Rubaiyat, but had given it away to a man named Alfred Boxall during World War II. Police tracked down Boxall in Sydney, alive and well, and still in possession of the copy, complete with her handwritten dedication. This confirmed that the Somerton man was not Boxall. Yet when shown a plaster bust of the dead man's face, Thompson reportedly reacted with visible shock. Her demeanor changed, and she refused to look at the image again. She claimed not to recognize the man, but her reaction suggested otherwise. Police began to suspect that the Somerton man had either known her or had been trying to reach her. One of her neighbors claimed to have seen a man standing outside her home, watching it from across the street around the time of the death. Another claimed the man had even knocked on her door. Was this a love affair gone wrong, or something more covert? Jestin never explained her connection to the man and maintained her silence until her death in 2007. Her son Robin, born in 1947, bore a striking resemblance to the Somerton man, especially his pronounced ears and missing lateral incisors, both extremely rare genetic traits. Buried leads and conspiracies. As years passed, theories multiplied. Some claimed the Somerton man was a Cold War spy. The tools found in his suitcase, scalpel-sharpened scissors, stenciling equipment, were consistent with covert operations. The poison theory, particularly a rare, undetectable toxin like digitalis or strophanthin, suggested a method used by intelligence agencies. Others suspected suicide. The poem itself, the Rubaiyat, is a meditation on death and the fleeting nature of life. The phrase Tamam Shud might have been a deliberate final message. It is ended. Still others pointed toward unrequited love or a secret affair with Thompson. Could he have come to Adelaide hoping to rekindle something? Had he been turned away and taken his life? Or worse, was he silenced? Numerous amateur sleuths, including retired detectives, scientists, and journalists, dedicated themselves to cracking the case. In 2011, University of Adelaide physicist Derek Abbott became one of the most vocal champions of solving the mystery. He pushed for exhumation, DNA analysis, and facial reconstruction. He suspected the Somerton man could be Robin's biological father. But the South Australian government, citing budget constraints and respect for the dead, denied all requests to exhume the body. For decades, the story remained frozen in time. A man with no name, a death with no cause, a trail gone cold, until 2022. Chapter 2. The DNA that spoke the unspeakable. For 74 years, the Somerton man lay in the soil beneath a simple headstone. Though the wind off the sea wore down the etched date, his anonymity stood untouched. But the world had changed in those 7 decades. New tools, DNA databases, facial reconstruction software, genealogical triangulation, began to rewrite the rules of identification. And in 2022, the body that had refused to give up its secrets finally spoke. The exhumation. It began with a quiet yet momentous decision from the South Australian Attorney General. On May 19, 2021, after nearly a decade of pressure from researchers and media outlets, the Somerton man's body was exhumed from West Terrace Cemetery. The operation was conducted under the cloak of early morning darkness to prevent public interference, with state forensic teams taking every care to preserve skeletal integrity. There was little tissue left. The embalming process from 1948 had hardened most organic material beyond use. But deep inside the man's petrous bones, small, dense areas near the inner ear, lay fragments of DNA. Extracting and sequencing this degraded material was an uphill battle, requiring the expertise of Professor Derek Abbott and American forensic genealogist Colleen Fitzpatrick. Abbott had pursued this case for over a decade. He wasn't a detective, nor a criminologist, but a physicist who had fallen into the mystery and couldn't climb back out. He had studied the case obsessively, even marrying the daughter of Joe Thompson, Robin's child, along the way. His theory? That Robin was the Somerton man's son, and thus the name of the unknown man might lie in the boy's DNA. With modern forensic equipment, whole genome sequencing was performed. The sample was cross-referenced against public genealogical databases, places where users submit DNA to find long-lost relatives or trace ancestry. This technique had solved cases like the Golden State Killer in California. Could it now unmask Australia's greatest cold case? The name emerges: Carl Charles Webb. In July 2022, after months of genetic triangulation and genealogical sleuthing, the Somerton man finally had a name: Carl Charles Webb. Born in 1905 in Melbourne, Webb was an electrical engineer and instrument maker by trade. He had gone missing in 1947, never officially reported, never publicly searched for. Genealogical matches with distant relatives helped trace the line. Carl had no children and no surviving siblings, but his DNA matched those of his extended relatives closely enough to conclude, with a high level of certainty, that he was the man on the beach. Webb had been married to Dorothy Doff Robertson, a woman who left him around the time of his disappearance. In 1951, she filed for divorce on grounds of desertion. If that timing holds true, Carl Webb may have become the Somerton man within months of leaving Melbourne. But this discovery, instead of resolving the mystery, only deepened it. The man nobody missed. How did a man simply vanish, completely, without a trace, and no one came looking? Carl Webb had no children, which partly explained the lack of inquiries. His estranged wife moved on with her life. His extended family may have assumed he'd gone off voluntarily, but it raised another question. Why did he go to Adelaide at all? Investigators scoured Webb's background. He had a technical mind. His job as an instrument maker required it. He had a history of mental illness in the family. He liked poetry, and he had a known interest in horse racing and gambling. Interestingly, Carl's brother-in-law, Doff's brother, was a man named Thomas Keane. This became more than a footnote when researchers remembered that the labels on some of the clothing found in the suitcase bore that very name, T. Keane. Had Carl borrowed, or inherited, his brother-in-law's clothes? Or was it another red herring? The suitcase itself, kept for decades by police and then scientists, offered few answers. No fingerprints, no unique identifiers, no secret compartments. It remained the silent companion to a silent death. But the DNA wasn't done talking. The Robin connection. One of the most persistent theories in the Somerton Man case centered around Joe Thompson's son, Robin. Photographs of Robin and the Somerton Man bust revealed uncanny similarities, pronounced canine teeth missing, a rare dental trait, hypodontia, and a deep-set cleft chin. Abbott, years earlier, had married Robin's daughter, Rachel, adding personal stakes to the investigation. Abbott's working theory for years had been that Robin was the biological son of the Somerton Man, making Joe and Carl Webb lovers who had kept their affair hidden. It would explain the presence of the Rubaiyat, her evasive answers, and her clear emotional reaction upon seeing the bust. But DNA analysis performed in 2022 put that theory in doubt. Robin's mitochondrial DNA, passed down maternally, did not match Carl Webb's family line. Moreover, there was no direct nuclear DNA connection found between Webb and Robin, suggesting he was not the father. This shattered one of the case's most emotionally compelling narratives. Still, Joe Thompson remained central to the case. Whether she knew Carl Webb, had a relationship with him, or was entirely uninvolved, those answers died with her in 2007. Theories reborn, even with a name, the mystery continues. Theory number one, suicide. The evidence suggests Webb may have taken his own life, estranged from his wife, possibly suffering from depression, and traveling alone with no prospects. He may have ingested poison, possibly digitalis or strophanthin, both of which can cause sudden death without visible trauma. But toxicology tests at the time were limited. Without modern samples, this remains speculative. Theory number two. Murder. Others believe Webb was killed, perhaps for debts, secrets, or associations. The missing labels, mismatched cigarettes, and erased identity all point toward foul play. Adelaide in the late 1940s was a quiet city, but not without its shadows. Theory number three. Espionage. This theory refuses to die. Australia in 1948 was a Cold War hotspot. The Woomera rocket range and British nuclear testing made South Australia a place of strategic interest. Some believe Webb was a courier, codebreaker, or spy. His copy of the Rubaiyat, a cipher key. His trip, a failed mission. Yet no records link him to any intelligence service. And if he was a spy, he was a quiet one. The legacy. The Somerton Man has gone from a cold body on a beach to a symbol of global forensic progress. His story has inspired books, documentaries, podcasts, and television adaptations. His case has been taught in university criminology courses and referenced in intelligence seminars. Carl Webb's resurrection through DNA is not merely a feat of science. It is a cultural reckoning. How many others like him lie unidentified, buried beneath plaques that read, "Known only to God"? It also raises ethical questions. What right do we have to dig up the past? To out the identities of men who may have wanted to disappear? To speculate endlessly on motives, relationships, and sins? Yet the compulsion remains. We want to know. We need to name the dead. Where are they now? 2022 DNA match a new mystery. Carl Charles Webb. Identified through DNA in July 2022. Electrical engineer. Born in Melbourne in 1905. Last known alive in 1947. Still no official cause of death. Joe Thompson, a.k.a. Jestin. Died in 2007. never clarified her connection to the Somerton man. Her son Robin is now confirmed to have no biological link to Webb. Robin Thompson, dancer and choreographer who died in 2009. Once thought to be the Somerton man's son. DNA proved otherwise. His daughter, Rachel Egan, continues to speak publicly about the Yah case. Derek Abbott, physicist turned amateur detective, after nearly 15 years of work, helped identify Webb. Married to Robin's daughter, he remains one of the case's most dedicated figures. Colleen Fitzpatrick, U.S. genealogist who cracked the DNA mystery using forensic genealogy. She continues consulting on cold cases worldwide. The Rubaiyat, the original copy found in the man's car, was lost in the 1950s. Only photographs remain. The coded text has never been deciphered. The bust. The plaster cast of the Somerton man's head remains in Adelaide's South Australian Police Museum. Visitors often report a strange feeling when they look into its hollow eyes. The final mystery. One of Carl Webb's surviving relatives, an elderly man in rural Australia, was shown a picture of the Somerton man in 2022. He paused for a long time and then quietly said, "That looks like Uncle Carl, but he was a troubled man." What haunted Carl Webb remains unknown. What brought him to Somerton Beach, alone and dressed in a suit, with Persian poetry in his pocket and a silence so loud it roared across 7 decades? Only he knew. And now, it is ended. Tamam Shud.